Science magazine recently published a peer-reviewed study that raised questions about the safety of the gene editing technology known as CRISPR. The study challenged the widely promoted claim that gene editing is precise and doesn't leave any lasting damage. Researchers found that even after targeted DNA breaks are successfully repaired, the cell does not fully recover. KGVM contributor David Rosenberg spoke with Ann Peterman, the executive director of the Global Justice Ecology Project and the coordinator of the campaign to stop GE trees, about the problems with CRISPR.
There's a problem with CRISPR and gene splicing, gene editing. So is this the same problem that's been talked about before, or are there a variety of problems with CRISPR here?
There's a new report that came out in Science actually in November, but it didn't get a whole lot of attention. So we are re-highlighting the fact that it found all of these different problems, these different unintended impacts of the CRISPR, of the use of the CRISPR technology on organisms. So that is what we are talking about with our press release and what we're trying to highlight. In particular, as you know, we are focused, one of the things we're focused on is the impacts and of potential impacts of genetically engineered trees, and trying to make sure that those impacts do not escape into our forests, that they do not impact communities that live near the forest, that live in the forest, and so on. And one of the areas that industry is moving into is away from traditional GMO technologies and towards gene editing. And the argument is that it's more precise and blah, blah, blah. And what this article in Science found out is it's not, you know, the impacts on the cell of the gene editing technology do not just happen where the cuts happen, but actually impact the entire genome. So all kinds of off-target effects, unintended impacts that can not just impact that cell, but be inherited by future generations.
So what does it mean to say that a cell that's been edited this way cannot recover?
Cannot recover, meaning that, okay, so the molecular scissors, as they're called in CRISPR technology, they are used to make a change to the DNA of an organism. So either they add something, they take something out, they, you know, edit a gene out, or they do something different, they move a gene around. And what it's saying is that the change that's happening is not just to that small piece of DNA, but can happen all throughout the DNA of that organism in various places for a variety of reasons in ways that are completely unpredictable. So, and then you can't do any, you can't reverse that, right? Once that change has been made, that's just the way that organism is going to be. So it's what we're saying is this is a novel technology. It's just a few years old at this point, and it's far too early to be saying that this thing, that any of these CRISPR organisms should be released into the environment, especially a long-lived organism like trees.
So basically, it's the same argument you were making against the previous technology, or that technology still existing, the GE technology.
It's very similar, yeah. So, you know, they just don't know. And I mean, that's the nature of the beast, right? So the idea that you can screw around with DNA, whether it's through the traditional genetic engineering techniques of introducing foreign DNA into a cell using an agrobacterium or, gene guns. This is just, you know, they say it's more precise, but it's just a different kind of technology.
How far along is it? Is it just in its kind of infant stages and it's not really a threat right now in terms of implementation?
It is being used in certain areas in agriculture, in the medical field. It's much more advanced. It's much further along in really being utilized in ways that, well, it's much further along in being utilized. And But not for trees. So there was in Brazil recently, the Brazilian government, which has been more than happy to approve all kinds of genetically engineered trees, has recently approved the use of a gene-edited tree by the company Suzano, which is a pulp and paper company. And it appears to be a reduced lignin tree. It's very difficult to get information, but it appears to be a tree that was modified for reduced lignin, which is what Suzano likes to take out when they have to change the tree. I'm sorry, when they have to make the tree into pulp and paper, they need to take out the lignin. So it's having a tree that already has reduced lignin means that they use less chemicals, spend less money, more profits, etc.
So what they're doing in Brazil is much more further along than, say, what was happening here with the chestnut tree.
It's totally different in the way that, they're both genetic engineering processes. One is going through the US regulatory process. In Brazil, the government, and this is a big problem with gene editing, the government has decided that gene-edited trees, as opposed to genetically engineered, traditionally and genetically engineered trees, do not need to be regulated. So they just kind of passed right through the approval process without any real oversight. In the United States, the chestnut has been going through the USDA's environmental review process and has gotten as far as the draft environmental impact statement of the USDA, which re recommended approving the release of the genetically engineered chestnut into forests. And that's as far as it's gotten. We don't know, they're being a little bit cagey about where it is now. But given all of the information that we helped reveal about the fact that the tree that they want to deregulate is actually defective and could pass along these defective traits to other wild chestnuts, it would be a real tragedy if those were deregulated.
I was just speaking with someone about the massive gold mining project that they're trying to do in Brazil, the Canadian company Belo Sun, and it didn't seem to make that much difference which government was in power, whether it was the ultra-right government or the more progressive Lula government. Is that true for what you're talking about, the gene editing project?
Yes, I wouldn't want to be in Lula's shoes, let's say it that way, but
Well,
because he
they do say that he is progressive on certain environmental issues, yes.
he's well, for example, more on social issues, right? So, the landless workers movement has been very friendly with the Lula administration. They've been very friendly with the landless workers movement in helping people get land titles. They've been better with indigenous people at helping them get land titles and so on, than especially than the Bolsonaro administration that kind of was in the middle of two Lula administrations, which was terrible, which was like, the Latin American Trump was what he was called. But the fact is that Lula now in Brazil is surrounded almost entirely, not quite entirely, but almost entirely by these extremely right-wing governments in Latin America, and some that are on the cusp of becoming really right-wing governments in Latin America. So he's kind of in a between a rock and a hard place when it comes to these resource extraction policies. It's like he's kind of try to make the population in the country happy so that they don't revert back to a very right-wing government, which apparently Bolsonaro's son, Bolsonaro Jr., is now looking at trying to take the presidency away from Lula. So yeah, it's Brazil's kind of
Shades
a
of
but they've
Marcos
never
and yeah.
Yeah, but they've never been great on environmental issues. The industrial tree plantations have been a problem for decades, and Lula has been a huge part of the expansion of those.
So the people who are promoting gene editing in this CRISPR framework, are they saying after this article in Science came out, are they saying, well, okay, maybe there's a problem here, but we can correct it. Have they responded at all?
I think they're hoping it will just go away, the critique. At the same time as people keep finding, and this is just the most recent article that came out in November that found that gene editing has these off-target effects and that can actually be inherited by future generations. But there have been several articles before that, several studies that have found that these off-target effects are a problem. And at the same time, you have the industry and the industry researchers going to governments like in the European Union, for example, which has had very strict GMO regulations, and saying that gene editing is not the same as GMO and you should not regulate it because it's perfectly safe, it's very precise, blah, 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 and ignoring all of these really dangerous side effects that have been identified. They claim that, because you're not introducing transgenes, in other words, you're not putting genes from a fish into a tomato, that because you're not doing that, then it's perfectly fine and it's natural and it's just like regular, breeding, traditional breeding. But it isn't. You know, you're going into a cell with these quote unquote molecular scissors. You're cutting the DNA up, you're moving things around. You know, it's not natural. It's not what happens in nature. And as we're now seeing more and more with these studies, it has very serious consequences to the cell and to the organism.
Is there some serious competition or rivalry between the genetic engineering people and the gene editing people?
As far as I can see, it's kind of a, you know, one long trajectory you go through. You know, it's the new technology, so people are, it seems like people are moving from the older technology to the newer technologies. Not entirely. I mean, Suzano has this new gene-edited low lignin tree, but they also have trees that they're pursuing that are using the older genetic engineering technologies that are have been engineered for herbicide resistance or engineered to kill insects or grow faster. So, you know, I think it's a it depends on the trait. You know, a lot of these traits have been they have the technology figured out for some of these traits pretty well, so it's easy enough to just apply them to a different organism. Like, you know, they know how to do it in a corn, so now they can do it in a tree. With gene editing, they're really focused on the lignin. So they think that with gene editing, they can do more complicated genetic engineering techniques, like reducing the lignin in a tree or altering the lignin in some other way. But you know, the lignin, if you think about a tree and you think about, you know, how straight and strong and tall it is, it's that way because of lignin. You know, lignin is what gives tree cells rigidity and strength. It's what protects them from wind and extreme storms and cold and animal browsing, insect infestation, disease. You know, lignin is what has enabled trees to evolve. So the fact that they think that they can use gene editing to get in there and modify the lignin, or some of them are even talking about creating synthetic lignin and re-engineering that into trees. I mean, it's this wild and crazy stuff that these folks think that they can do, and all for the purpose of turning trees into products. That's what it comes down to. We want to turn trees into products, and we need to change them so it's easier and cheaper to do that.
Has anyone made the argument that unpredictability is not a bad thing? That wouldn't this be interesting to see what would happen and maybe something better will emerge? That kind of thing?
Haven't heard that argument exactly, but I have heard people say that, oh, well, you know, nature has mutations, so this is just like a natural mutation. But you know, it's certainly it's not the same as a natural mutation, and especially when, you know, there are very specific things that people are trying to do in the cell when they monkey around with it.
Anything else you want to add?
Just that, you know, this is a fairly new area in trees, the genetic engineering of trees, gene editing is a fairly new area in that. So we're keeping a very close eye on it, and especially with the modification of lignin and this idea of synthetic lignin, and I mean, it's this major new area of research, and people are saying that it's for the bioeconomy, quote unquote. You know, they want to use trees and turn them into ethanol, you know, biodiesel. They want to turn them into textiles and chemicals and plastics and, you know, all of these crazy things that trees should not be made into, and that this will help climate change and help replace oil and all of this nonsense. And you know, there's no concept of, you know, just let's maybe we don't need to all of these plastics and chemicals and things. But then they also, at the same time that they say that we can do all of these things with trees, there's this acknowledgement that we also need to cut down fewer trees, right? Because the trees are absorbing carbon and helping stabilize the climate in the many, many ways that they do. And forests are critical to climate stability. So how they're going to do both, protect forests and massively increase the demand for wood for all of these bioeconomy projects, and say that it's all in the same, you know, in the same vein of dealing with climate change is beyond my comprehension. I can't figure that out.
That's Ann Peterman of the Global Justice Ecology Project, speaking with KGVM contributor David Rosenberg. This interview was released on May 4th, 2026.